David Bowie and Slow Burn right here. Hey, Radio 3. Good afternoon to you. I will have a chat with Merrin, Dr. Merrin Pierce, in about 25 minutes. He's somewhere slap bang in New Zealand, so I'll chase him down. In the meantime, on the line from Melbourne, business futurist Morris Mizanowski. Happy World Future Day, Morris.
And happy World Future Day to you too, Phil.
What does that mean then?
Well, for a futurist, it means a lot. It is the annual day, believe it or not, that's been designated to talk about all things future. And I hopefully recognise that there is one.
You can geek it up a bit. There's a couple of interesting dates today. I noticed that in 1995, Yahoo was incorporated. And I think that takes us on to an interesting thing about, you know, the natural lifespan of things that at the time we think are going to be the best thing since sliced bread. And in fairness, Yahoo was looking really good until. So lifespans of these things, is it just natural devolution?
Look, I'm not sure, but Yahoo was a great example, as you've said. I mean, everybody talked about it in the late 90s and into the early noughties. It was meant to be the biggest thing since sliced bread. But it's really become almost a dismal joke. In the last couple of months, they've gone through some serious issues as well. They've sacked people. They've done all kinds of strange things. And Yahoo really is losing purpose very swiftly. And yeah. You're right. Many of these corporations are very, very good when they start off because they're going into a new space. There often isn't anything to compare it to. If the marketplace likes it, it gets excited by it. And lots of people follow. And Yahoo was a great example of that. And then all of a sudden we had Google and a whole lot of other opportunities that maybe gave us better experiences. And we tend to see that. I mean, Nokia is a great example of that.
Yeah, the communicator. Remember the movie The Saint?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, would you think 10 years ago that we would be talking about a company that's almost useless today?
But on that angle, Morris, you know, that featured very heavily in that movie. It was, remember, the Nokia communicator. But was that like the sort of very, very... I don't know, the Stone Age version of what we have today, was that the root of the stream of what we have today, do you think?
Look, I don't know if it was the root of it, but certainly it would have tickled a few people's fancy and they would have tried to see if they can make it happen. So definitely, I mean, I think that movies, books and all those kinds of things fire up our imagination. And as humans, we need something to start from.
Yeah. You sort of find out where things start. The thing about Yahoo is interesting. I wonder if it was the right time and the right place, all of a sudden this portal opened where something had to be done in terms of, in this case, search engines.
Yeah, absolutely. But don't forget, AOL was around at the same time, and that was meant to be the bee's knees, as they say. That was meant to be something for everybody, and that's also languishing. Lots of these products were very, very good for their time. They just didn't make it past the next couple of years. And I think that Yahoo was a prime example. It still has some brand attachment to it, but they're struggling.
Yeah. I wonder what other areas this kind of thing happened as well. If you look back to the 1990s, you've mentioned AOL. I suppose IE was a reasonable example of this because people just laugh at it now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are lots of those brands around too. We talk about different computers that we had, the old IBMs. I mean, all kinds of things were around in those days. They were wonderful days, 90s. I mean, looking back romantically, they were the beginning of most of the technology that we now have superseded and moved beyond.
Is that an example of perhaps what, you know, a time and place when certain technologies that really dictate the next generation's habits, when they are born, we had it in the 80s, really.
Well, we did, and the PC was a wonderful example of that, and Apple and the two of them fighting it out, because they were trying to figure out what a personal computer would look like. Remember that in 1980 we were still laughing, or we were still using that IBM statement of only big countries would ever need computers. They just weren't that many around, and they certainly were never going to come to people's homes.
As a VG on Radio 3 with Broken Arrows, let's see how the gremlins are, Morris. Sorry about that. Lovely to have you back on the program. Yeah. Can you hear me now?
See, so technology in the future is just as bad as it was in the past.
Well, this is something I've been meaning to ask you about for a while as well. I want to get onto this in a second. You know, the thing that's supposed to be driving us forward is still very haphazard. Good old blinky Wi-Fi.
Yeah, it absolutely is. But we are getting better at it. We talked a couple of weeks ago about this new thing called Li-Fi, L-I-F-I, which is a brand new technology that we haven't yet seen. It's in prototype. It's 100 times faster. We've got Facebook and Google, all the big corps trying to reinvent this thing called the internet and the speed and our connectivity. So give it a year or two and we will get better. But we are so much better than we used to be. My wife and I were only talking on the weekend about when I brought home the first modem in about 1988, and it was on dial-up, a dial-up meaning that you literally had to dial the phone and it was working on the phone line, and it used to drop out every minute or two, and our phone bill went up extraordinarily, and she could not see the purpose in it and kept chiding me about it.
She probably had a good point there.
Oh, she absolutely did. She absolutely did. But then again, she's used to me and my toys.
Yeah, I'm sure she is. Well, let's get back to where we were. I was watching some stuff on the BBC yesterday. I don't know what the big event was that they were at. They were going around asking all these punters about what does the Internet of Things mean? I know we've talked about this before. Nobody could give the lady a straight answer, but they said it with such confidence.
Look, the Internet of Things is really the hooking up of all our inanimate objects to the Internet. It's the equivalent of social media for everything that doesn't live and breathe. What it means is that we will be able to control our physical environment, and we're starting to do that. At the moment, we're doing it by simple things which seem strange, like getting our fridge to talk to our toaster and getting our garage door to open before we quite get there. But it gets more purposeful down the road when we start to control buildings and cities and change traffic conditions and, for health reasons, make sure that people have what they need. In aged care, the Internet of Things means you can hook up a home and have the home monitor a frail or old person within it to make sure that they are okay. So I think it has really good applications down the road. At the moment, it's geeky and a bit of fun.
Yeah, well, one thing we've just proved is all this stuff is well and good, but when it screws up...
Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, there's no plan B, really, is there? And it all relies on the Internet, which, again, has no physicality about it. You and I are now talking on something that's wireless. There really isn't anything between us except for a hope and a prayer. And that's where we're starting to play. As we talked about a couple of moments ago, Facebook is big into this space of trying to make that connection between people as robust as it can be. Google, of course, is. Oracle is. They're all playing in that space. And even though we have dropouts and difficulties, it is very much better than it was last year and better than 5 years ago, and nowhere near as good as it will be 5 years from now.
You bring up a very good point. When you mentioned Facebook trying to do this, that, and the other, Google is a multi-tentacled animal right now. What's the danger of these guys, like, overextending themselves somewhere down the line?
Well, Google is called Alphabet now, and Alphabet is the answer to your question. What Google has recognized late last year was exactly that maybe they were spreading themselves a bit too thin under one name, and they decided to break out into a group called Alphabet, which has put all of the various different things, and they literally are doing thousands of things, from mHealth, which is mobile health, to connectivity, to search engines, to driverless cars, etc. It just goes on and on. If you're interested, have a look at Google Labs. But they've put them all under this new umbrella called Alphabet, so that each one of those different things that they're doing has a different focus, a different budget, and a different application, and won't necessarily topple the whole company if one of them goes bad.
This is interesting because the name Google, everybody knows. Now, what does this new name, Alphabet, do to their brand equity in the short term?
Look, I don't think it does much because Google will still be Google. I mean, the thing that we know, the search engine will still be called it. What they changed was really the holding company name, and it's the name under which their stock is held. So it has a more corporate purpose to it. And it was the market's response to your question, Phil, absolutely, of you guys are just doing too much under this. It just doesn't make sense. And they've now said, okay, it doesn't make sense, so we're going to split up the company in all sorts of ways.
Yeah, well, the car is the thing that you've talked about. And I was just having a bit of fun reading an article this morning saying that one of them, travelling at 2 miles an hour, bumped into a bus.
Travelling at 15 miles an hour.
The bus was at 15 miles an hour now, thankfully. And they said nobody was hurt. Well, you know what, they simply could have been. But this is my whole point about it's wonderful, this upward arc of progression. But when it goes wrong, it could be catastrophic.
Yeah, it absolutely could be. And I'm not downplaying it in any way, but there are far more accidents caused by human beings. And in the 5 years...
Statistics.
Yeah, it is. But in the 5 years that it's been going, this has been the only accident we know of. And they have to report all of the accidents to the motor vehicle group in California. Look, I don't think this is perfect. There is never going to be technology that's perfect. We'll have a discussion on...
The brothers would have had a bit of a song and dance before they got in the air.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure somewhere down the track we'll have a discussion about somebody hacking into cars and doing something terrible to them. All of that is absolutely given, unfortunately. Human beings will always try and find a corrupt way of using a technology. But I think in the end it is a far safer road if we go down, if people aren't in control of the motor vehicle. So I'm kind of still on their side.
Something Morris has been writing about on his Business Futurist website is, it's more of a sort of statistician probability kind of deal, but you're talking about if things carry on the way they're going, we're going towards one language, one currency. Now you may say that won't happen, and if it does, it'll be thousands of years off. But it's a very interesting concept, that, Morris.
Yeah, it is, and it really talks about this notion that in, as a society, as human beings, we had culture, and culture was really a geographic response. So there was a Chinese response, and there was a Western response, and there was a French response. And around that, we had language, we had etiquette, we had rules, we had education, we had all kinds of things. And in this new space that you and I speak about frequently, in this global space, there aren't any of those rules. Everything is still Wild West. There is no solid culture. And there is now a mixing of 190 different countries and over 2,500 languages in this space. So the question is, when everybody squeezes into here, there's a likelihood that a new culture will be formed, which will be overriding everybody, regardless of where they live. And the notion I've been posing over the last couple of weeks, and I'll do some keynotes and things on it in the next few weeks, is really the notion of, will we get to a space where there is one dominant language, where there is one dominant finance, which we have at the moment. And I would suggest that our currency, even though we have the dollar and we have the pence and we have the yuan and everything else, is really more digital. It's more MasterCard, Visa and PayPal.
You know what this is hinting at? It's hinting at things we've been seeing in the movies for years, when you have all these races of everybody looking and acting the same, things like Gattaca, whatever. I mean, it's crazy and it's way off.
Yeah, and I don't want us to get to that kind of, I don't want us to get to that kind of space, but we have to start exploring it, because as human beings, whenever we get together long enough, we begin to share traits. We begin to have more common things around us, and that's what's happening or starting to happen now. The interesting opposition to that is that even though we are now in groups larger than we've ever been before, even if they're digital, we in fact now are also very polarized, because we're finding our own groups online, we're speaking to them regardless of geography, and we're beginning to have conversations we've never had before, which is one of the reasons that ISIS and the others are doing, I don't mean this word well in any sense, except for the sense that they are so large and so vocal, because they have a minority of people that are very cohesive.
This is a germ of something massive, probably, for the future. What we have now is people with like minds join clubs doing the same thing, and they enjoy themselves. I'm sorry about the connection, Morris, but we're going to have to leave it there. We'll try and do a little bit more next week. Joining me on the line from Melbourne.